from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
What triggers you? What triggers you? I actually know one of the answers. Go ahead.
Oh, in life?
Anything. Or... Just to think of something that, like...
And that's a great question.
People walking on the sidewalk with their head in their phone, not looking at where they're going. That triggers me.
That's one. Sure. Sure. Can you think of any
people
others?
People who drive in
so
the
let's
right...
go to 888-957-957. Did it work?
You interrupting me? I've gotten over that.
I know, but you don't like being interrupted.
I don't.
You've just gotten over it with me.
Well, that and...
it's like I mean, a waiver.
My current, you know, whatever. It's yeah. In my world... My world is filled with interruptions.
You
I live with an almost 2-year-old,
well, yeah.
And she doesn't always wait for me to finish... like opining on what I think that she should do.
Oh my God!
Watch Coco Menon.
Well, that,
Coco Menon.
That's
Coco
just,
Menon.
That's life, isn't it? Isn't life just filled with constant interruptions? I feel sometimes
it
like
if you've
my,
got a clue and if you've got class.
Yeah, but I mean, people are like you mentioned, your 2-year-old. Like you're not dealing with fully formed people a lot of the times.
Yeah, I'll say.
I got 3 not fully formed human beings at home who sometimes feel like they're having a competition for my attention, and no one is waiting for the other one to finish their sentences before they bust out with their own.
And they only have like a tight window too because
I'm moving.
Right, and they go to school at 8, and you get home at 7.
Gone.
And so it's like a 2 or 3 hour window of like, Dad, I got like 17 things. Yeah. Can you sign this? Can I get this? Can I get that?
If your question is 3 sentences long, I'm sorry. By the second sentence, I'm like, you got to get in the shower right now. It's bedtime in 12 minutes. Sure. But like, here's why I ask. NBC Sports Bay Area just tweeted this.
Oh, God. You're trying to piss me off. I'm in a great mood, too. I came in yesterday, just real quick, 10 seconds.
Yeah, go.
Angry. Oh, your boy was angry.
Why? I didn't notice.
Had a talk with a coworker before you got here and completely not did a 360. I did a 180 yesterday.
I'm angry, Jeff.
On one of our coworkers?
No. We had a talk. And
right.
They were able to help me through my issues.
Oh.
I came in with a gigantic bag of issues, and we worked through them. And so by the time you sauntered in, and I used sauntered disparagingly, I was good.
I'm in a fantastic mood. It was Joe, wasn't it?
No, but the bro hug always,
it helps.
That's a good 10% off the edge.
Was it the other Joe?
No, you would never guess. And you could. I don't want you to guess because... it was a wonderful conversation. The point is, I'm in a wonderful place now.
Good. I could mess it up in one sentence.
Do it. You won't.
Quote.
Oh, God.
Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers reportedly met on Monday and are ironing out the minor details of a long-term contract extension.
So stupid. You don't iron out minor details over the course of 5 weeks.
You know what? I think that we can do a class action thing here. I think we can do it. We're part of the media, right?
For sure.
All right. Oh, let's call on all of our brothers and sisters. Yeah, let's call on all of them.
Jenny Lee Chan, Mayoko, Barrows, David Lombardi.
All of them. Even Adam Schefter.
Thank you.
Everybody. Everybody.
Shams.
Jordan Schultz.
Free agent.
Shams. Because every now and again, he'll do something that's not NBA related.
Exactly.
It'd be amazing if he breaks the Brandon Ayuk story.
He might.
All of you. All of you. Come on, people, now. Okay? Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. And stop tweeting till it's over. Stop.
It's never over.
I know. And we're, like, sitting here talking about it. But again, the angle we're taking today, this is about us. I don't want to hear anymore that this is on the 1 yard line.
Totally.
My God, how long has it been on the 1 yard line?
Yeah.
Let's fire the offensive coordinator. They can't get a yard. Let's go to Mac T in the Yoon.
I can't wait to hear Mac T.
Let's go, Mac T.
That's another thing that triggers me.
Why?
Bros before phones. I used to work with a guy who would go to the phone right
before
away.
Talking to you.
Yeah,
I think I did that to you one time
on purpose,
but then never again.
It just whatever. It's National Radio Day, so I feel like we can talk about radio.
It is National Radio Day. Yeah,
the appropriate thing is to have a little bit of a conversation, then you go to the phone. So I'm dying to hear Mac T. What you got, Mac T?
What's up, Mac T?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, you know, I'm hearing a lot of like, hey, Brandon was offered this, the team offered that, this was that, he just declined this. But how do we really know what any of these reports are? Like, we have no clue. Everybody on each side, so the team and Brandon's agent, have every incentive to kind of either bend the truth or not necessarily give you the exact information. So all I'm saying is that we're trying to, like, speculate on a lot of undefined terms, and we really don't know exactly what was offered and what wasn't offered. And I think that's important to – I mean, it doesn't help sports talk radio because at that point it's like, well, we can't really talk about anything. But in reality, we don't know anything.
So you have a point, Mac T, but I think it's a little bit too firm. In other words, we do know some things, and I'll give you just like one tiny sort of corner of an idea of what I'm talking about just from the standpoint of me and Dan Dibley. I'll tell you one thing that we know. We know that the New England Patriots offered more than $32 million. We know that because Brandon Ayuk's private coach told us that. He told us that on the air. You all heard it. So that's sort of how I arrive at my opinion. You're not wrong, and thank you, Mac T. There's a bunch of stuff out there that is obviously being shared with the media by people who are on the inside because they want to tilt the world in their favor. So I totally get that. But I also don't think that the Browns, the Steelers, the Patriots, Brandon's agent, TJ Houshmandzadeh, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, I don't think they've all just taken us all on an elaborate journey that's all made up for a story that, by the way, none of us want to read. So there is some truth in what's going on here, and I've arrived here at this point, while admitting I don't know all the details, I do feel like Brandon has been given a fair choice on the menu, yet refuses to make a selection. And if he's your date, I'm going to leave.
Right.
I'm going to leave and go get a new date.
Could you just order? Could you order? Because the specials look good, and it's a good restaurant, and all the menu selections look good, and you came here, and you said you were hungry, and so we got a nice steak, we got some chicken, we have fish, we've got turkey, we've got pork. We've even got a little duck confit, if that's how you want to roll. Just pick something. Pick something so we can go on with our meal, which would be the regular season, and yet he's just, I'm going to need a few more minutes. I'm not really sure if I want the duck or the pork or the chicken or the turkey or the steak or if I'm going to go vegetarian tonight. It's maddening when you get to this point where you're right. He's had all these different things in front of him and he wanted a trade. Okay, you requested a trade and we had a trade in place and you wanted a deal and they have a deal that is reportedly in place for him too. So what do you really want? If you just wanted to sit out camp and sign on August 22nd, well, then none of this would have been an issue.
Yeah. It's beyond run its course. Peter in the city. Hey, Peter, what's up?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Listen, quickly, as a professional negotiator, what the 49ers ought to do, go to the table, say to them, this is our last, best, final offer. If you don't accept this by next Friday, all bets are off. We expect you in the locker room on game day. See you later. That's what we would do when you get to impasse, because you start arguing over nits and nats. So you say, this is the last, best, final offer. You got 9 days to accept it. You refuse it. That's it. See you in the locker room.
All right, let's play this out, because Peter, I don't know that they haven't already done that. But Peter, I like this, because I brought it up earlier. Thank you, Peter. And Peter's a professional negotiator now. So
yeah, 50 years in the business.
Listen, I thought the same type of thing a number of times. I bet we all have, right? Go super hardball on someone who's not a free agent. I've argued for months now that Brandon Ayuk has no leverage. And a lot of people have argued back at me. Well, sure he does, because he's a phenomenal player and he's about to get paid. So he must have some sort of leverage. I understand what we're saying there, but in the end, the leverage lies with whoever has the last, who's got the gavel.
Right.
And the Niners absolutely have it. The problem is they don't want to bang it into the table. But let's play that out. Is that even an option? Would you do that? Because that's really pulling the ripcord now. And the idea would be basically tell Brandon, look, we've gone back and forth too much. Here's the deal that and this is what we're willing to do. We are not willing to budge off of it this at any more. So this is it. We have tried to hit every marker that you want. And oh, by the way, a trade is completely now out of the question. That has been exhausted, which, by the way, might be true. These other teams might have just been like, we've moved on. The Patriots might.
Feels like Pittsburgh is still in, but.
Maybe, but I don't know. Closer we get to the season, the worse it is for
any other team, exactly.
The acquiring team, too. Is that possible? Could the Niners just be like, deal? Or no deal.
Shout out Howie Mandel.
And if you'd like to sit out the season, be our guest.
Yeah, you could do that, but you are in a Super Bowl window. And it's easier for a team like the Bengals to play hardball and franchise tag a player and, you know, maybe roll the dice on somebody being unhappy. But you're the Niners, and you were one play away last year from winning the damn Super Bowl. And here you are with everybody back, and your quarterback is a year more experienced, and everybody is ready to go, and your Super Bowl window is either still open or it's closing, or you can throw a chair through it. Whatever it is, you're one of the favorites to win the damn Super Bowl. And if you don't have Brandon Ayuk, your odds to win the Super Bowl, they go down. How much do they go down? I don't really know. But I think that they go down, and I think they go down to the point where I don't think that you win the Super Bowl or you have a chance to do it without Brandon Ayuk. So, yes, you could play hardball, and you can now draw that line in the sand, but what are your other options? Chris Conley and Juwan Jennings? Is that what you want to do?
Let's play those odds out. The Niners right now are the second favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
If Brandon Ayuk sits out the season, or in some way it is now known, no, there will be no Brandon this year.
Right.
All right, now where do they fall to?
They fall out of the number two spot.
I disagree.
I think
with
that
you
they
completely.
Fall into a spot where maybe the Rams and them are co-favorites to win the West.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. I think they would absolutely still be the NFC favorite to win. I mean,
I don't think so.
The next couple of teams aren't even NFC teams. You know what I mean? Like, the next team is the Ravens. And they're flanked kind of by the Bills and the Bengals.
I think it's a little bit of location bias here, because think about last year where you had to dig deep to beat the Packers. The Packers had to give you a gift to even have a chance to come back and beat them.
Well, but wait a minute.
And the Lions, you needed a fluky play off a defensive player's helmet to come back in that game?
But that's not about odds. Like, even the Super Bowl favorites are less than, like, they are unlikely to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
All teams are unlikely to win the Super Bowl.
Of course.
So, like, all we're saying with the odds, I'm not saying it would be easy. I'm not saying it would be a walk over. I'm not saying they're clearly the best team. I'm saying Vegas keeps them as the NFC favorite, even without Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that they would fall.
That'll be my second question to our guy.
And the gap is, you know, the gap is pretty big, I know, between them. It's them and the Chiefs, and then it's a pretty decent-sized gap down to the next team, and it's the Bills, and it's the Ravens, actually, then probably the Bills. It's AFC teams ahead of it. The NFC is not a very deep conference, but I think that if you ask Green Bay and the Rams and Philadelphia and Dallas, if the Niners don't have Ayuk, they are beyond thrilled.
It's Baltimore, and then actually it is two NFC teams that follow Baltimore as the third. It's Detroit.
And Green Bay?
No, Philadelphia.
Okay.
You'd be shocked. Green Bay, I don't know what the hell Green Bay's doing down as far as they are. They're below Dallas.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But and okay.
You take Brandon Ayuk off of the Niners, I think that they drop down at least into that group, if not below that group.
So Detroit is plus 1,200. The Niners are plus 600.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that the Niners' odds to win the Super Bowl are going to double. They're going to double down with the loss of one wide receiver?
Right, for a team that has two wide receivers.
I don't
see it. It's a team that runs a two wide receiver set. So right. You're losing half of your receivers, and you're losing your best receiver. Not your best player at wide receiver, best pass catcher.
I get it. Sure.
And everybody wants, you know, TJ Houshmandzadeh. We all want to talk about second in the league and yards per target and all the rest of it. And then at the same time, we're going to turn around and say, well, the loss wouldn't be that great. You can't have it both ways, people.
I'll get some answers on this.
You lose Ayuk and
the spread and the overall Super Bowl odds.
Yeah,
just if you
without Ayuk,
if you remove Brandon Ayuk, I get us some answers.
I mean, you're gonna go with Conley and Juwan Jennings and Pearsall and Cowing.
I don't know. Yeah, or start signing people. I don't know.
Like, who's out there as a street free agent?
Robbie
Beckham Jr.
Robbie Chosen.
Oh, that's right. They got Robbie Chosen.
Robbie Chosen is on the team. That's a veteran wide receiver who's a field stretcher. I'm not saying he's amazing, but he's got a track record in the NFL. He can catch a pass. He can get open.
He's allowed to.
That's within the rules. It is. He's allowed.
Did he play last weekend? I didn't notice.
I don't think so.
Will he play this weekend? Probably not.
Because the names are playing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Listen.
I mean, they're allowed to still win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk.
They're allowed to.
But they won't.
Look, if the 49ers were this desperate over Brandon Ayuk, we wouldn't be here right now. I mean,
it's more than just a one-year thing, though.
But of
They're
course
looking
it
at
is.
This as a four-year play. And Parag Marate is looking at the numbers and not just thinking, like, Super Bowl or bust.
But, Dibs, you're not wrong that, like, we shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be in this situation. However, the 49ers as a team, at least if you want to believe reports, on some level, before the draft, felt like we could do this season without Brandon. In fact, maybe we could do this season without Debo. We could do it. You might disagree, and I might agree with you that we should disagree, but that's what they think. That's what they think about the wide receiver position. That's what Kyle thinks. Is that arrogance? Call it that all day. That's fine.
Well, it's only arrogance if he's wrong.
Whatever. Like, I have no problem with the head coach of the football team being arrogant. You know, I don't want him to treat people badly. I'm talking about, like, as far as your play calling
right.
and the way you structure your team.
Just don't be wrong.
They clearly, at the end of last year, they're like, we can't do this without Bosa. And I firmly believe that's why I have no concerns about Trent, because I think they feel the same way there. We're not doing this without Trent.
And they felt that way about Christian because it took about 19 minutes for them to break him off.
But they've been playing with this for 4-5 months.
Right.
Messing with it. So clearly, they're not like, we're dead without him. They don't feel that way.
Right. Well, then I would hope that your rookie, the one who is a week behind, or your other rookie who can't actually get on the practice field.
Yeah.
I hope that either one of them can either play, or maybe we've been sleeping on Juwan Jennings and Chris Conley.
And Robbie Chosen.
Danny Gray and Robbie Chosen.
No, I don't think we're sleeping on Danny Gray.
No, but what are we doing? What are we sleeping on here? Is your offense so plug and play that you can find anybody to step in? You can get Robbie Chosen off the scrap heap, fresh off a name change, and he's going to be a difference maker for a team that goes to the Super Bowl?
I don't know if difference maker is the line. You know what I mean?
Well, somebody's got to go out there and catch the football.
That's not necessarily a difference maker. Like, you can go,
Brandon Ayuk is a difference maker.
I know he is. I'm not saying there wouldn't be a drop off. I'm saying that it wouldn't fall off of a cliff.
Yeah, see, I think it would fall off a cliff.
Robbie Chosen. Let's get some stats. Robbie Chosen, what has he done in this league? He's been a 1,000-yard receiver.
In 2018.
Yes.
Am I right? 2018? No.
2020.
Oh, whoa. Only 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And he has been a 900-yard receiver once, and he has been a 700-yard receiver 4 times.
Can I get some years here?
Yeah. That was a window from 17 to 20.
I mean, that's a lifetime ago,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, but he didn't, bro, they didn't throw the ball to him the last 4 years.
Like,
he was in
why.
Miami. No, because he was buried on depth charts. Because
he's not very good.
You don't know that. You don't know that. Like, how you telling me a receiver is never suddenly elevated when they're a 49er?
You tell me.
This guy, too, last.
Set some over-unders for Robbie Chosen this year.
2 years ago, he's on Arizona playing with Colt McCoy and portions of Kyler Murray.
He can spin it. He's first overall pick.
All I'm saying,
Robbie Chosen this year, over under 40 catches and 500 yards.
Under? Because I still think Brandon Ayuk's playing for the team.
What are we doing?
But
here?
If you, like, do you think that he can't run a route and catch a pass?
Oh, I think that he can run a route and catch a pass.
Then you can,
over under 1.5 catches
then
and one route.
Tuck him in with Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Chris Conley, and George Kittle, and you're telling me the Niners can't get first downs? And Christian McCaffrey? Of course they can.
I mean, there's no guarantee that Robbie Chosen even makes the team.
I would argue he probably won't. But I'm trying to illustrate how I think a lot of NFL coaches look at the wide receiver position. I know that a lot of them are being broken off $30 million.
Right.
Others are being traded to Miami while their team wins back-to-back rings.
Right, and he's gone on to be the best receiver in football statistically last
correct.
Year.
Correct. Although
fantasy numbers.
Well, hang on. Fantasy people, did you hear what Tua said about Tyreek Hill?
No, but I heard what he said about his former coach.
Yeah. There was the Brian Flores part that got all of the headlines. But honestly, who really gives a rip if Brian Flores was a jerk to Tua?
More than a jerk.
I don't care.
Mean.
Yeah, but what I care about with fantasy drafts flying around every weekend right now is that Tua admitted yesterday they were forcing Tyreek the ball to get him the number.
Mm.
Which is A, stupid.
Awesome, because I had him.
B, probably not repeatable. All of you who took him number two in your draft, he ain't getting 2,000 this year.
Well, especially when Jalen got paid,
$28.5 million for his other receiver.
Field, yep.
Exactly. Anyway, that was a very quick aside.
That was a great quick aside.
Yeah. So again, no, I don't know what the hell Robbie Chosen can do. Probably not going to make the team. My point is I think Kyle Shanahan, the same way Andy Reid was like, we'll pick a guy named Sky. We've got a rookie over here whose name is Rashid. Don't worry, you'll get used to him. Someone's named Justin. And then that Valdez-Scantling guy who shows up in places.
He's hurt now.
Yeah, he's not even on the Chiefs anymore. Anyway, like, we're going to put all those guys in a bucket, and we can move the ball. And he was right. He was right.
Yeah, their offense was not as good.
But it was still good enough.
Barely.
It was still good enough.
Because Kyle doesn't know how to navigate overtime.
Yeah.
Yes. There you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't, again, yes. Yay, Brandon. Have Brandon.
Yes.
That's better. Does the whole thing fall off the tracks without him? I would argue vehemently no.
It takes a huge step back, and now you're relying on Deebo Samuel to play 17 games, which is not what Deebo normally does.
Yeah, probably not.
So you're looking for a durable Deebo and a bunch of question marks in an offense that relies on a two-receiver set. I don't like the formula for this team to be able to be successful on third down.
Neither do I, but I'm not letting him run the whole organization.
They already
either.
Have, though,
I
is
know,
the point.
And that was a mistake.
And it still is. And yep. here we are talking about Brandon Ayuk again on August 20th.
No, we're talking about us.
Ah, that's right.
We're talking about us.
Our feelings.
And our emotions, yeah. So it's 957-957. Stay right where you are. Rich, you're first up when we come back. We're sponsored by Safeway. Kyle Harrison looms. It's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We'll figure it out. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
That's the way Kyle Shanahan looks at it. We'll figure it out.
20 days, Mark.
We got 20 days to figure it out.
20 days to figure it out. I can tell you what I figured out for 20 days from now.
What's up?
I'm going to be there. Oh. I'm going to be there at that game.
Oh, we're
going to
be there.
Yeah, and I'm going to... I may have to call in sick the next day because I'm going to...
Why?
I'm going to spend every possible second heckling Aaron Rodgers with all of my might.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Oh, I won't relax, Aaron. Because you bug me,
it
bro.
Is, you know, like...
He bugs me.
What a great Monday night opener. It is not only all of the 49ers stories coming together, but then, like, this is Aaron Rodgers' first football game in how long? This first football game in a... And don't
in
count
a year.
The, yeah, but that didn't count. He barely played. He went out there and played three plays, and it was
counts.
Over. Well, sure, it counts as a start, but like...
Yep. When's he gets the loss.
I know he does. When's the last time, or did they lose that game? Did they lose that game?
I think so.
I don't know if they lost every game.
Yeah.
They played Buffalo, and I could have sworn there was an upset in that game. Anyway, I might be wrong. Whatever. Not the point. When is the last time we really watched Aaron, like, play a football game? Been a while. Do you have it, Grandy? What happened in that game?
Well, they lost week one in overtime. Or the Jets beat the Bills week one in overtime.
Jets beat
but
the Bills.
The last game Aaron Rodgers played would have been final game Packers previous year, which was when the Lions went into Lambeau and beat the Packers. Lions found out earlier that day that they had nothing to play for
anymore. To almost make the playoffs, but they needed help and didn't get it. Yeah.
But then Dan Campbell said, we're going to win anyway, and they won anyway.
And they did. Because that Dan Campbell, he does not back down to anybody.
He's biting kneecaps.
Not even the fourth down marker.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
He's not going to let you get in his head. Fourth down. No problem.
Whatever. It's part of the process. You're a big process versus results guy, and now the fourth down process master is on your coaching staff.
No, it doesn't. But it doesn't work.
It does when you pick it up.
Well,
and that's results.
You're right. I'm a process guy.
And the process is, if it's fourth and manageable, we're going to go for it.
That's about
process.
And that's
what Brandon Staley does.
Yeah, but that's about,
Brandon Staley. And I wonder if he gets in Kyle's ear and stuff.
No, Brandon.
And Kyle starts going for
Brandon
it now.
Brandon gets no vote in the offensive play calling. Brandon gets no vote. And if your process is just go for it because I believe in our guys, that's a bad process. The reason I feel comfortable, sort of criticizing Dan Campbell's play calls in the NFC title game is that I subbed them in the moment. You're right. I am a process guy, not a results guy. And before he ran the plays, I was like, I can't believe this guy's going for it. What the hell's he doing? Kick a field goal, you crazy person. I was glad that he did, and all those passes kept landing incomplete.
Well,
perfect.
One was a drop. Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds.
Yep.
Right to him.
Yep.
Catch the ball, and it's a different game.
Isn't he on a different team now? Isn't he gone?
Yeah, he's not a Lion anymore.
Yeah, he's not a Lion. Bye. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. What's up? You're on with Willard and Dibs.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I got a hot take. I may be wrong, but I believe that the reason why the Brandon Ayuk thing is taking as long as it is because I believe that Brandon Ayuk wants more guaranteed money. And when you look at what's moving the needle with these players in the NFL, CeeDee Lamb not signing, Trent's not signing, is because these guys are asking for more of the guaranteed money. And when you look at it, it does make sense. Because what do we know? We know that, hey, when these contracts are done, all it takes is a season or two seasons, and all of a sudden now they're restructuring. Okay, so now what they signed for, they're not going to get. So I think that's what's holding this up. I think that Brandon Ayuk is asking for more guaranteed money, and Parag Mohanty doesn't want to give him that much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Rich. Maybe.
Thanks, Rich.
Maybe. However, I'd argue that where the high-level reports are coming from right now, that's not the wording they're using. Doesn't mean that Rich is wrong, but when the wording is, just working out some minor details, well, guaranteed money is not a minor detail. That's a big old headliner. That's where you start the conversation.
Depends on how much they're apart. That might be a minor detail.
Yeah, sure, but the guarantee is actually, that's the thing. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
I know we all talk about average per year, but the guarantee is the big old banana. And if you're far apart on that, then you're not close to a deal. And they are reportedly close to a deal.
They're still close to a deal. And also, Pittsburgh still feels like that, it's possible that he gets dealt there.
Do they? I don't know that they feel that way.
Well, the Andrew Filippone, the reporter, who is close to their team, and his source may or may not be their GM, they still feel like they're a player in all of this. And, you mentioned the guarantee. There's two different guarantees. There's the practical guarantee, and then the guaranteed at signing number, which is the number that you get no matter what.
You know what was wild when Filippone came on with the roast today? He has that prediction at the end that everybody's sort of running with all afternoon.
I think September 7th, he gets traded to the Steelers. I think the day before the season starts, he ends up on the Steelers for a second and third round pick.
Fascinating prediction based on the way the rest of the conversation sounded. Because even Bonte and Joe were almost trying to hold back laughter because they're like, the man sounds like he's been run over by a truck.
Mm.
Now, part of that was because he has a day off today, and he's with his 13-month-old child, and they were going to an amusement park that, for some reason, in Pittsburgh doesn't open until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's weird.
That's beyond weird.
Yeah.
It's even weirder that he decided that that's what we'll do with my day off. We'll sit here and look at a 13-month-old child and just do tricks until 4 o'clock when we go to an amusement park. Whatever. Float your boat however you want. Listen to some of the other comments that came from this conversation with regard to Ayuk and the Steelers. This is what Pony says about how Steelers fans currently feel.
They're annoyed with him. I mean, it's interesting. A guy spurns New England, who beat the Steelers in every big game for 20 years, and he spurns Cleveland, your little brother and rival in the division. He does both of those things, and yet he's almost persona non grata here because of the way this thing is dragged on. You know, all you hear is that he wants to play for Tomlin, and that the Steelers are going to financially make it worth his while, but yet a deal isn't done. And so...
Okay, so Steelers fans are beyond frustrated, and then he continued and used, I think, an even stronger characterization.
You know, I think Steelers fans are starting to begin to actually scratch that. They felt this way now for longer than just a day or two. I think they now believe that they're getting used by the IU camp. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that necessarily. I don't think that that's fair yet, but I can tell you that a lot of fans feel that way. And I think a lot of players, either former players or current players, are starting to feel that way too.
And there's an appearance there by the child right toward the end of that conversation.
Yeah, a little bit of a gurgle, a little bit of a loud caw, you know, little one-year-old noise for sure weighing in. And I could see where that would be frustrating because that's kind of the way it feels, is if you're a Pittsburgh fan, he's still trying to leverage this whole, you know, idea of, you know, going to Pittsburgh, Niners, you better give me more of that guaranteed money because I might, you know, go sign with Pittsburgh and okay a trade, and then all of your hard work gets blown up in your face.
Yeah. I don't think that there's some sort of a sense out there in Pittsburgh that this is close. Now, those are fans. It's not like they're tapped in. But the whole sound of the conversation felt a little past tense. Steelers fans feel used. Everybody is completely frustrated by this. Everyone's done with this. And the tone of the whole thing was not, no, we still think we're getting Brandon Ayuk. That was not the tone at all. And then at the very end, he's like, yeah, they're going to get Ayuk. The day before there's a game.
Right.
And I was like, that can't be the way this plays out, can it? I mean,
that would be not a fireable offense, but that would be shocking. If the Niners got no player and they got two picks and it happened all 2 days before the Niners played.
There's very few ways, if any, where the Niners could get booed by their home fans as they take the field on September 9th. That would be like an attempt, though. That, like, I know you're not supposed to care what your fans think, but then somewhere along the road, this is an entertainment outfit. You're not supposed to actively attempt to annoy your customers. And we're getting close.
Well, even if you did it before the draft, that would have annoyed a lot of customers. But you could at least spin it over the next 4 months of, hey, we drafted Pearsall, we drafted Cowing, and, you know, we got Robbie Chosen, and we're going to be fine. And, you know, Brandon wanted to go, and we got future picks and all the rest of it. And so we're still going to be a really good team. But if it happens 2 days before your opener, you're right. That is indefensible for a team trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. Dave in Fresno, here with Willard and Dibs. Hi, Dave. What's up?
What's up? What's up, boys? What's up? Good afternoon.
What's you doing?
Dave? Hey. Two thoughts on the Ricky Pearsall news. I guess he won't be practicing this week. I have a couple thoughts on that, if you can bear with me just a sec. First thought, and this is not 2020 hindsight, I didn't like the pick at the time. I think in the perfect situation, I think Brandon Ayuk was going to probably be a part of the 49ers. So in a perfect situation, he would have been fourth on the depth chart with everyone healthy. So I've spent a first-round pick there. Just didn't make much sense to where I would have used that on offensive line depth. I know CUNY's been good. Another one would have been even better to go with him. And second thought to that, and you guys can tell me what you think. Call me crazy, but maybe because with his injury – the situation with Pearsall, it's like week to week. It's very mysterious. They're not really announcing what's going on. They're taking a week-by-week basis approach to it. I'm starting to think maybe they're trying to figure out this Brandon Ayuk situation before they possibly announce him going on the PUP list. And you know the Niners, they about that PR. You know, they're not, you know, they're savvy in that way. So they're like, hey, we messed up this Ayuk and announced this guy's hurt. Could you imagine the fan base, the reaction? So that's just a theory of mine. You know, you guys can, you know, think what you want about it. But, yeah, those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah, Dave, thank you for calling. It's all interesting stuff. You know, he says the Niners are about that PR. All teams are. These are public entertainment outfits. Nobody is actively looking for bad PR. Sometimes I do think, and I'm not going to dismiss everything he said at all, but I do think that a lot of times when situations like this happen, we sit down in our homes and we concoct a soap opera in our minds. And so you hear a lot of people go, well, here's the Niners are not telling us about Pearsall because Ayuk, and then what they're actually going to do is physically unable to perform, which I don't even know that they're allowed to do because it's not a real injury. And then they're waiting with Trent because they're not going to do Trent before. But it's like, why would the team kick itself in the shin that way?
Over and over.
You don't need to overthink it that much. You don't need to mess with it to that level. Maybe Ricky Pearsall's just hurt and he's not getting better in the way that that you'd want him to. And him not being a huge part of the early season game plan in his rookie year was probably the thought process from the beginning. I don't think the Niners used their first round pick with the thought of like, he needs to start for us on week one this year. I've always thought the Ricky pick was probably more about next season than this season.
Right, but it becomes more impending if Brandon Ayuk doesn't play, then you have a greater need if Brandon Ayuk is not going to be here. I'm with you as far as like how they looked at it, but the fact that Ricky Pearsall has been injured not once but twice leading up to the final preseason game, and he won't play in that game, and leading up to the first regular season game, and we don't know if he'll be even cleared to play in that game. It all becomes a little bit more complicated because of the Brandon Ayuk situation.
No question about it. By the way, I'm working on Kyle.
All right.
Kyle Harrison's going to be, I think Kyle's going to be on at 4:30.
Work it.
Yeah. Hutch will be fine. Hutch will be fine. He's going to be fine. So, yeah, Jake Hutchinson's going to come on with us as well. So we'll move that around a little bit. Kyle Harrison's going to join us here at 4:30. So I agree with you completely. The Pearsall thing is and by the way, so's Cowing. It's a bummer. It's a bummer that they're behind. But they can catch up. Nobody was thinking that September 2024 was going to be about Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. So all is not lost, but yeah, I think we show up this week, and maybe not yesterday, because I don't know, you still sort of like the day after the game, and the conversation got overtaken by the fact that Brock Purdy played,
yeah,
which was a head-scratcher or whatever, but like, as we get here this week, something clicked today where the clock suddenly feels like a real thing here. A real thing.
Right, because after Friday, you are into game week, quote unquote. And after Friday, you play the Raiders. Then the next thing you're going to do is cut down all the way to 53. And if Brandon Ayuk is still on the team, he's going to make the cut. But at that point, is he going to be signed and ready to play football? Or what are we doing at wide receiver? How many are we going to keep? Are we going to keep an extra wide receiver waiting for Brandon Ayuk? And then at that point, that player becomes disposable. After Friday, it all gets real. After Friday, you've got 17 days until you actually play real, meaningful football. And Debo hasn't played, and Kittle hasn't played, and Ayuk hasn't played, and where is Trent? And you have so many other questions that you need to get a lot of these things buttoned up here between now and by the time we get back here on Monday, 6 days from now, you get into that two-week run-up to real football. You shouldn't be worried about who. You should be worried about, like, how.
Let me ask you a question, take this in a little bit of a different direction. I don't know Brandon Ayuk. You don't know Brandon Ayuk. You don't know Brandon Ayuk, right?
No, they say they don't want me.
Okay. All right. If you're Kyle Shanahan, and it seems to me that two times in a four-year career, Brandon has brought Kyle to a very, very frustrated level. This is twice now. I don't even know what the hell happened 2 years ago, but Kyle didn't want to play him anymore coming out of his rookie year, and he had to work his way back, and he did. And now he's a back-to-back 1,000-yard receiver, so it very much felt like things became kumbaya. But I think that what we saw early this offseason is a little bit of a tell. I find it a little troubling. I'm not going to lie about that. I think Brandon is phenomenal. I think that you use whatever leverage you have, you try whatever you can. But when the Niners lose the most frustrating Super Bowl imaginable, and you can't even get out of exit interviews before you're on Instagram Live, kind of bleepity bleeping the organization. Well, I guess this is it. This is our last time at Levi's. And it's like not even the third week of February. I think it sets the whole thing off on a bad way. That's a bad tone setter. That's not a mature way to handle the whole thing. And so if that's the backdrop of all of this, and if Kyle is now pulling out his Z's because he's had it up to here with Brandon.
Zero updates. Nothing's changed.
Okay. So if that's what you're getting, should the Niners want to do this for the long term? I know 1,300 yards, but phenomenal play can turn on a dime. And I already gave you two examples earlier in the show. Jordan Poole was, there were t-shirts, pool party. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, this, we can't, he can't even be on the team anymore. And whoever's fault that is, I don't want to get into that conversation. But he can't be on the team anymore. And Andrew Wiggins got a bag. And then has spent the better part of 2 years being MIA. And Klay Thompson is a statue guy. And then all of a sudden was so angry. Unrecoverable. I don't want to be a Warrior anymore. This happens fast. And there are some scary indicators with Brandon Ayuk. You want to do five more years? Should the Niners want to do five more years?
If they want to have a wide receiver who's really good, yeah. And he's never shown you an indication that money has changed him, and whether or not he was in the doghouse or not, Kyle himself refuted that there was no doghouse, that Ayuk was never in the doghouse. Those are his words.
Yeah, he also said that he and Steve Wilkes didn't have a problem. You believe him?
Of course. I take him at his word. Kyle's a straight shooter.
Come on, man.
And, you know, Steve ultimately, you know, he's got to be honest. I'm built for this. And he was built for it. And he was gone.
Dude.
It didn't work out. Dude. It didn't see eye to eye. I don't think that Brandon was in his doghouse. What did he miss? One game that year?
No, he missed a ton. They wouldn't play him. Yes, he was. They didn't play him.
They played him, but he didn't. He didn't get the targets that he thought that he would have gotten.
He didn't play that much. He really didn't. He was buried.
He's only missed one game in his last 3 years.
But you know, right?
I get it, but I don't think that you look at Brandon Ayuk and what he did last year and the player that he's become and think, well, if we give him the money, then he's just going to shut it down. I don't believe that. And I think that it's more of a philosophical thing where I don't know if Kyle wants to pay any of these guys that much money. Forget Brandon, the individual. You look at Debo, who's making huge money. How much longer will Debo be there? And you drafted two wide receivers. I think it's more about philosophy than it is about personnel. I don't think it's about Brandon the person as much as it is about the philosophy of paying these guys, these receivers, who maybe are replaceable, that much money.
I feel you. I can't believe we're here, but sign me up right now for there are other good wide receivers in this world. And the Niners can find one.
Well, look what Green Bay has done, yep. And look what the Rams did with Puka Nacua.
Like, if this is going to just go on forever, there are other people who can catch passes on planet Earth in Kyle Shanahan's offense. I'm getting there fast. I'm getting there real, real fast.
But can they do that this year? And that's the biggest problem for me because, yes,
you
could look at Cowing and Pearsall, and you already said, and you've said this many times, like you can't expect a rookie to come in and hit the ground running and be great right away. And you're not wrong. Puka Nacua was a curious example because Cooper Kupp was hurt, and you know the Rams went to him exclusively, and he put up big numbers, and they won 10 games, and they were a playoff team, and we'll see what he does in year two. But Pearsall and Cowing coming off of injury, neither one of them's ready to go for week one. How are you going to be a Super Bowl team when you have these rookie guys step in?
I don't think it's about Pearsall and Cowing yet, and I'm not terrified. Again, it's not good, but I'm not terrified if the 49ers do week one or even September. Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, Chris Conley, Robbie Chosen.
Oh, God.
It doesn't terrify me.
That's terrifying.
I don't think so.
That's terrifying.
I really don't. I don't. Again, that's not what I want. But, if I'm
Robert Saleh and I'm looking to scheme up in the opener against that offense.
But you're making it too much about right now.
You mentioned September.
I know, but
the Jets are going to come in and they're going to laugh at that passing offense.
They're going to lose.
Without Brandon Ayuk, I'm taking the Jets and the points, no doubt.
All I'm saying is, at what level are you so obsessed about right now that you let Brandon run the show? Are you just going to let him run the show?
Well, they already have.
I agree with you, and they need to stop.
They won't stop.
He's ruined camp. This has ruined the vibe of camp. Yes or no?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's ruined it, but he soiled it. It's like when you go camping and it rains. It sucks. And you have that rain guard in your tent, but it still gets wet inside your tent.
I had a 49ers source tell me a week ago, this has been a crappy camp. Why? Why has it been a crappy camp?
The weather. It's been terrible.
Number one reason on the board if we're playing Family Feud.
Trent Williams.
No. Crappy camp. All right. Doc Pandy is going to jump in a little bit. We'll keep going with your phone calls. Daryl, stay where you are. We're coming to you. 888-957-9570. Kyle Harrison in a half hour. And we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.